Amen. Praise the Lord. That was amazing. The children were amazing. You're amazing. God bless you as you're seated. And I am just excited of the word I have for you today. We're going to be concluding our series on More Than Words. And I am entitling my message today, Light. But before I do that, let me just share a little bit more with you. Our founding fathers deeply believed our nation was guided by divine providence. They viewed God, watch the wording, as the ultimate light illuminating our paths. 1787, Benjamin Franklin called for guidance. He proposed during the Constitutional Convention, they must open each session with prayer. He referenced God as the Father of lights. He stated that without God's light, they were simply groping into the dark to find political truth. Jefferson credited the Creator with bestowing valuable gifts to us. He called it unalienable rights. Then writing in the Declaration of Independence that humans are endowed by the Creator with these rights, he noted, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at that same time." George Washington, he stated in his first inaugural address in 1789 that no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. What he did is he proclaimed to all the people of the United States, it's because of your faith and your belief in God that you won and you're free. Again, we began the series called More Than Words. But Washington also said this, "I have been driven to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." And then he proclaimed the glory of the Lord. We are talking about the Bible. We're talking about in this last message, More Than Words, and we're talking about the Bible, that it's literally more than us just reading. And again, as I entitle it, Light, what we're going to focus on is that God's Word is light. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word, the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is a famous verse. It's used all the time. But it says, we have to get away from the proclamation always and get to what it really is saying. And really pause for a second. And as I say this, please don't misunderstand me. We need to get away from the religious rote and get into the personal aspect of what our founding fathers were saying. They weren't perfect. Neither are we. But the reality is what they said is they were talking about the Word. That it's the Word that gave them the plan of the United States of America. This verse says the Word of God is a lamp to your feet And the reason it's a lamp to your feet is so that you would know how to take your next step. I'm amazed at conversations that I have outside the church. And so many people just don't know. They don't know what to do. They struggle. And don't get me wrong, in this world we're going to have tribulation. But we need to understand that the Bible, as you read the Bible, it will give you that next step. That's what it just said. It also said the Word of God is a light to your path, so that you would know the path in your life that God wants you to take. That's the heart of the Word of God. That's why you see around the world the battle that is there to try to get you and me from declaring the Bible is God's Word. To get you and me to back away and say, well, I just don't understand Scripture. And not having a habit of reading the Word. But as I just read this verse, it'll give you your next step. And it will give you your purpose. So I'm going to talk to you in conclusion of this series. I'm going to give you three things about light in representing the Word, the Bible. So my first point here is we got hamburgers and hot dogs out there, so I don't want you looking at me that way. So we're going to quickly dive into this. My first point is the light dispels darkness. Let me take a poll. I've asked this before, about 3 years ago. How many of you have walked into a dark room and stubbed your toes? All right. Look at all the clumsy people in Valley Community Church. No, we're not clumsy. It happens because you don't have light. We're talking about the Word of God. Think about it. If you simply had a lamp to your feet, or light to your path, you would never stub your toe. Unless you have the stools I have at my house. Because they reach out and they hit my feet. Some of you that have been in my home, you understand that. Think about the analogy that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. As human beings, we're human. We talked about that the first week. But we're walking in a dark world. So the question, how many Christians today are stumbling because they are not using their light? They're stumbling because their lamp is not lit. They're not in the Word of God. They haven't decided that this is God's Word. They haven't decided that these scriptures are absolutely from the heart, the mouth of God. So again, light dispels darkness. Light takes darkness away. Matter of fact, speaking of that, there is no struggle between light and darkness. What are you saying, Pastor? We are in a struggle with darkness, but God does not struggle with darkness because he's a light. There is no darkness with God. When you fall in love with the Word of God and you're in the Word of God, and maybe at times, as I described last week, is sometimes I read Scripture and I go, what in the world are you saying here? And it takes me hours or days or weeks or even months of prayer and reading over and over to get the revelation of it. Light is not having a fight with darkness. Because if you walk in a room and you turn the light on, there is no struggle. You don't hear a whisper say, trying to remove the darkness. The moment a light comes on, darkness disappears. The moment you read Scripture, darkness begins to disappear in your life. And when revelation manifests of God's word, what God said, you will know your next step and you'll know your path. So I'm going to show you a scripture. Many read and they take it negatively. And I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to show you basically what it is saying. It's found in John 3:20, and you can see it on the screen. It says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light or stays away from the light." So when you practice evil, you stay away from the light. You're backing away. You're going opposite of the will of God. "And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." And so in this scripture, we have a tendency to read it and not like to read it because I think all of us have done that. All of us know that there are times in our life that the steps we're taking are not God's steps. But we don't want to go that direction because last time we went in that direction, we were hurt. Something happened. The reality of what we dreamed it would be did not happen. But it doesn't mean that God's word is not true. So let's look at that scripture and let's begin to catch what I believe the revelation of what he was saying here. Because if you're caught in darkness, sin, you have a tendency to stay away from the word or you have a tendency to back away from reading it because you know that it'll expose something in your life and it will bring guilt. And in Scripture, it's called conviction. It's not condemnation, it's conviction. But this verse is not really talking about that. This verse is saying the first thing you need to do is read the Bible because a light dispels the darkness. It will crush the result or the darkness, so you can be free and delivered. That's what that scripture is saying. So I want you to understand is many times in scripture, due to our personalities, due to our situations of life and hurts and things that go on in our life, we have a tendency to take the word of God and turn it into our emotion, our feeling. And I'm asking you, when you read the word or you get up and you're tired or in the evening, whatever time it is that is your time to get in the word of God, don't go into it with, you know, God, I'm devastated and I just need to read. No, you go into it understanding that this is a loving God that spoke through men to give you his heart towards any area of your life. And he's going to dispel darkness so that you can see the truth in the midst of the darkness that you feel like you're in. That's the heart of God. That's what the Word of God is for. And so people will say to me, and I get it. I was there decades ago, but I get it. You know, I'm busy. I'm a young man. I'm trying to do this and that and succeed and all that, newly married and kids and all life is happening. And just sometimes I just don't have time for the word. And when I would say that in my own life, I would feel conviction. But here's the reality. I must take time with the word of God because all that, quote, chaos that I feel like I'm in, the word will bring light to it. And I will be able to see things in a different, no pun intended, in a different light. I will be able to experience the experiences I'm having in a different light with God's heart for that. Why did that happen? I've given you an illustration also. Being at a church for a long time, sometimes you run out of illustrations, but some of them are good, so you keep repeating it. But I had a situation in the Carolinas. I was a supervisor, and my spiritual father came in town. He was going to speak for a men's camp that I was doing. And we sat down for a meal at a restaurant, and He said, Gary, what's going on? What's happening? Something's going on. And I explained to him what's going on. And expecting him to say something like, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that happened. And kind of take my feeling and emotion and agree with it. And he said, oh, man, that's God's perfect plan for you. I want to slap him. You know, what do you mean? I want you to feel the way I'm feeling. And it wasn't that. He reminded me, because we had the discussion before, you know, when I was teaching at a convention for him and what I was teaching on. And we were just all excited about that. But he reminded me with that statement of what I taught on in that convention. And the reality is that sometimes you see things and you think, oh, it's a devil, it's the enemy. It might be. But God is going to put light to the situation so you can see your next step and the path to move forward and through the situation. What do we call that here at Valley? It's called breakthrough. Breakthrough doesn't happen in many cases because we haven't fallen in love with the Word of God, because we don't see the situation the way God sees it. That's why the Word of God is called light. Think about it another way. For some of us that are a little bit older, now we have the iPhones and click, click, and we take pictures and, you know, put them on all the different social media. But think of the old cameras with the old film. It's kind of like your mind being that old film. You've taken pictures of dark things, of negative things in your life. And that picture is there. It could be immoral, could be sexual, could be devastation, hurt. Things didn't happen right, and depression wants to handle, because that's all you see. That's the picture you have in your mind. But if you ever expose that old film to light, what would happen with the film? The film would be destroyed. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, when you get in the Word of God, the things that you see in this world, the things that you experience and how you relate to it, how you see it working in your life, if you get in the Word of God, it will destroy that wrong thought. It will destroy that wrong feeling. It will overwhelm you and bring transformation in your life. It will change you. Your life, you'll be thinking, you know, I'm supposed to do this, and I feel this, and this is who I am. This is my identity. No, the light will expose that and destroy the wrong thinking of which God had made you. He created you in His image and likeness. And His desire is for you to take every step that you have with Him, to be able to take that step with confidence, knowing you're doing the will of God, and also be able to see that future and break through and see God's plan manifest in such a unique way. That's the heart of God for you. That's how much God loves you. We're celebrating freedom in the United States of America. America was used by God because the founders saw the light. They used scripture. They quoted scripture, most of them. And not all of them were, you know, believers like Richard and walking in scripture, all that. But bottom line, you know, you see all the fights, and everyone's trying to bring false information. And I'm just telling you, let the Word expose your mind, your thoughts, what you've seen, and destroy that so that you can see the way God sees it. I want to tell you what I just told you is really good stuff. Because a lot of times we'll go, and rightfully so, we go for counseling. We have brothers and sisters we talk to, and we pray about things, and we gather together in groups, and, you know, youth and children and seniors and men's and women's, and we gather together, And we see such wonderful things by fellowship and relationship. But bottom line, it's the Word of God in us that produces that fruit that you're desiring. The Word of God is light. It'll change. It will bring things into you that you absolutely will be overwhelmed. And even in the midst of tribulation, you will walk in life with joy because you're confident in what God said to you. In Luke 11, Jesus is talking about this light or lamp. Verse 33, he says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, and those who come in may see the light." Verse 34, this is very important. The lamp of the body is the eye, saying, what you look at is how light and darkness gets into your body. So, therefore, when your eye is good, or when you're looking at good things, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, or you're looking at bad things, your body also is full of darkness. Now, when you read that again, you have a tendency like, because how many of you know, I mean, especially guys, you just drive down the freeway and billboards are up there. You know, half-clad women, all the different things, you have to look the other way. Think about all the darkness our eyes see every day. A long time ago, I was sitting and studying, and I thought, you know what? This is the beginning of social media, so I'm going to go to social media, and I'm going to count how many articles, as they list, how many blogs, or whatever they call them, are about light or about darkness. When I did this, I did it about three times, and the average was there were about 12 that were dark and 3 that were light. And so everywhere you look in the world, is you will see about 75% of what you look at will be of darkness. So how many hours do we spend reading darkness? And we wonder why we're struggling with our emotions. We're struggling with our identity. We're struggling with all these things because of what we're looking at as the eye. What you look at is what goes into the whole body. My point, or Jesus' point here, is this. Can you imagine if you spent the same amount of time or more reading light, the Word of God, and letting that light enter your body? Remember the lame man. He's 38 years old. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" How ridiculous, really, if you think about what Jesus said. But it wasn't ridiculous. He was speaking to the man because he had been looking and thinking and depressed with all that he went through and all the lameness for 38 years and what he needed to do. He didn't have a job, all the different, he had to depend on people giving him pennies, all this stuff and the stuff that he was going through. You know, what am I going to eat tomorrow? And with that, it was almost to the point that he got used to the darkness. There are many who are in bondage that they kind of want to be well, but they've lived this life for so long, and it's almost like they don't even want breakthrough. And Jesus had to get the guy to think differently and say, "Do you really want to be well?" Because Jesus was known for the healing. And when he walked up to him, he recognized and knew that the guy really was kind of like, oh, okay, well, whatever. You know, this is my life. It's been this way for 38 years. You know, he probably going to go past me, and he'll heal this guy over here and not me. So this is what I tell people in bondage. I have a lot of people that ask me what to read, and sometimes I'm led differently. What do I read in the Bible? All right, so if your body is full of darkness, you need to look at the light. So I tell people, start in the book of Matthew and read for 30 minutes a day for 30 days. Then each day, read a chapter in Proverbs. You will be amazed by just doing that, darkness will be driven out. You start reading Matthew, 30 minutes, get to Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts. And you just read 30 minutes. Yeah, but there's a point here I didn't understand. Just keep reading. Just keep reading. By the way, if you read in the New Testament each day for 30 minutes, in 2 months you have read through the New Testament. Doesn't take long. You can go right back and do the same thing. You can do that with the Old Testament. Please read scriptures that changes your life. So number one, light dispels darkness. Here's point number two, light recovers lost things. You ever lost anything? If you lose something, the best thing to do is get a light. If you're in a dark place, you can't find things, you need a light. Jesus tells a story about a woman who lost something, and he tells it between two other stories. The first story is about a shepherd who lost a sheep. And remember, the shepherd is Jesus, and we are the sheep. The third story is about the father who lost a son. It's called the prodigal son. And right in the middle, Jesus tells the story of a woman who lost a coin. Now, I want you to understand, it speaks of something valuable. The three stories are talking about people because every one of you is valuable to God. Every one of you are important. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, where you're born, what color skin you have, you know, how many cuss words you said last week. Doesn't matter. What matters is you have to understand you are valuable to God. And you have to recognize who you are because God has already, out of who he is, quoted that and stated that. So Luke 15, verse 8 through 10. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she can find it? And when she had found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Now remember, Jesus is relating all three stories to people. Look at the next verse. Likewise, in other words, he's saying this is the interpretation of the allegory I'm giving you. I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Word brings salvation. I used to sit outside my kids' bedrooms and read scripture, not loud, where I'd wake them up. I'd just read scripture over them. I'd go outside and just walk around in our backyard, and I would read scripture. And I'm reading the scripture over them because I knew it brought salvation. And because I knew that, I had no doubt that my children would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I had no doubt that as I grabbed my grandchildren, all eight of them, and walked around with them and prayed and quoted scripture over them, I had no doubt that every one of them would serve Jesus Christ. It didn't matter. Whatever went on, whatever happened, I had no doubt because the Word of God gave me light and gave me understanding, not just my love as a father or a grandfather, but the love of God for you and your children and your children's children. Your siblings, your parents, your grandparents, your family. That's the heart of God. And so when you do that, when you proclaim the Word of God, it will transform you, bring you salvation. And the salvation is not just that you're going to heaven. The salvation is that there would be transformation in your thinking and in the way you are as a person. We'll get back to people in a moment. What if you lose your job? What do? Light a lamp. Go to the Word of God. What if you lose a relationship? Light a lamp. What if you lose your integrity? Light a lamp. What if you lose your reputation? Light a lamp. Every time you lose something, light a lamp. What is that talking about? Get in the Word of God. Read Scripture. So let's talk about people. You know, in the natural, speaking of children, leaving and cleaving with children is natural. There is a natural progression that when your children become adults, that they begin a transformation in their life, and then you begin, as a parent, lose a little control over that child. And so what you do is you begin trusting that child to make their own decisions. How do you do that? I just trust you. You're just going to remember what I... No, you read Scripture. You continue to proclaim Scripture over them. That's a simplistic realm of that. I'm telling you, I probably quoted Scripture by reading maybe the Bible 3 or 4 times through the years, over people, over this church, over your homes, and over my children and my family. Hebrews 4:12. Because this transformation with your family can be scary, but Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. So you make decisions on what you think, what you will to do, and how you feel through the Word of God. Clearly, please hear this. The Bible doesn't divide your soul, but it divides your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit. It divides what we think is right, what we feel is right, and what really is right. Because a word will transform you where your spirit, Scripture says the younger self will overtake the older self, which is your soul. So you will. Watch this. Pastor, what do I do when I was younger? Or I was 25, I did this, I divorced, I did this, I did that, I had this happen, I made this choice, wrong choice. What happens? Get in the Word of God, and you will recover lost things. You'll recover lost things. Pastor, you're so simple, because Scripture is simple. We make it hard. Here's the third. I'll close with this. Light shows the way. It's a lamp to my feet and light to my path. It shows you the way. It shows me the way. Now, I don't need you to raise your hands on this one like I did earlier, but the question I'm going to have is like the death rate, 100%. Have you ever had a decision to make? Anybody ever have a decision to make? Right now, do you have a decision you have to make? Of course you have. To rent or buy a house? What college send your children to? What job or career should I do? What spouse should I marry? You have decisions. This is going to help you. The Bible talks about general and specific revelations from God. General revelations of God is this. This is how to be married. It amazes me how people get married and they're not ready for it. But God gave us the plan of marriage. But the specific revelation of God is, who do you marry? This is how you, general, how you get, you know, how you are married. And there's revelation. God will show you. God will show you that place. God will show you that job. He'll be specific with you. But it takes someone that becomes personal with the Bible. So the question is, can God give you specific revelations? Of course he can. What I'm trying to show you is that God can speak to you through the Word of God. God's not saying anything. I don't know what God wants. Yeah, he is. He already said it. It's right here. Right here. It's called the Holy Bible. God speaks to you in every area of your life with this. And then when it becomes personal with Scripture, then what happens is you'll get that unique, intimate revelation of the who and the why. So let me show you how to get a word from God. Remember these three words. If you were here on Sunday night quite a 2 years ago, I used these three words. Praise, prayer, and to proclaim. How do you get a word from God? Praise, prayer, and proclaim. Praise is you enter God's presence with praise, which Psalm 100 verse 4 is you begin to worship the Lord and you praise the Lord. How do you get that specific word? Prayer. Pray about what you need to pray about. Don't pray about what you think you need to pray about. I'll say that again. There are a lot of times people go into their prayer closet and they pray because of a problem. I go into my prayer closet and I praise the Lord and then I ask the Lord, what do you want me to pray about? My life is no longer about me. It's about God use me. I'm yours. What do you want me to pray about? Sometimes he'll take me totally off kilter into another area of prayer. And I begin to pray. Then the reason is because in the process of doing the will of God, his answers to my personal situation will come. Okay? So, and of course, there are times you go into and you pray about what's going on in your life. But I just, sometimes we do that so much that we're not listening to what God's saying. Because we're so enthralled with what we're praying about or concerned about the situation. So you pray about, I need to know about a job. And you begin to pray about that. Read Scripture. And how you do that is the third word, proclaim. Is you begin reading God's word. Example about marriage. Read stories of marriage in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah. Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob and Rachel. Boaz and Ruth. Here's a real good one. Jesus and the church. And you read about it and you begin to see the heart of God of relationship. And how God so loved the world. God loves you, and the love that he loves you with, it's huge. You and I still don't understand the depth of his love for us. But if we would read the Word of God every day, we'll get more and more of that. And we'll begin walking around, not complaining about life. We'll be walking around thinking, man, I have a God that loves me so much. God, what do you want me to do? I want you to do this. Specific revelation. And you do it, and you don't do it like, oh man, I'm scared to do that. Go there and witness. No, you're not scared about it because you know you got a Father that loves you. And He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You just begin, the situation that I faced through the years, I just know that God loved me. And a lot of times, things would happen that I didn't like, but I knew I was in the will of God. Okay, I'll say that again. Some of us need to hear this. There are things in my life I didn't like what happened. But I was in the will of God because I was doing God's will. And all this chaos took place. Why? There's an enemy that hates me. In this world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, He's overcome. I'm a winner. I know who I am in Christ. I have my identity. I don't question who I am. I know who I am. Do I make mistakes? Yeah, I'm human. Next year, beginning of the year, we're going to talk about that. Our divine humanness. And we're going to see that we do make mistakes. But bottom line, if you're reading the Word and you're doing the things of the Lord and you're walking in that, I'll tell you what, you're going to face some of the challenges you used to face and fall apart. You're going to face them now and say, all right, God, what do you want me to do now? I know this is happening. No one likes me right now. But I know I'm in your will. What do you want me to do? And it's amazing when you have that confidence. Sometimes He might tell you, love them anyways. I have you with them because I'm going to use you to bring transformation in their life. But God, look at the way they're treating me. Look at the way they treated my son. I'm not asking you to die. Well, kind of. He's asking you to die to self. Right? Some of you feel like you're dying. Prepare yourself. Some of you young people, you know, you watch all these movies about marriage, you go, oh, tears going down your cheek. Get ready. It's right in here. Get ready. And then specifically when you're ready, God will show you who. All right, let's go on. I'm messing now. So the Bible is more than words, and it will change your life. Let's all stand. I just got one more thing to say to you. Smell those burgers? The Bible is 66 books, 1,189 chapters, written over the course of 1,500 years. What do we learn? The Bible is your bread, spiritual nourishment. The Bible is your water, drinking of that water from the rock, who is Jesus. The Bible is breath, the spoken word. And it comes in you when you read Scripture. And today, the Bible is light. Go online to our page for the church, and we have a reading calendar so you can read through the Bible every year. We're not going to, you know, have some type of thing on the computer that checks and see if you've read that day or anything. No, it's you and God. And when you love this book, it will change everything. Can I pray for you? Everybody online, I'd love to pray for you too. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. The love of the Word will just explode in this house. Proclamations of Scripture over children and grandchildren will be overwhelmed. I proclaim over marriages right now in Jesus' name that the word of God would absolutely change. The lies from the pit of hell no longer are truth in our minds anymore. That we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind by the reading of the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Those online in this house, if you are listening to me and here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. Today, do that. Tell someone when you do that. Tell your family. Call us up at the church and let us know if you're watching online that you received Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, blessings upon all the food that we will partake again today. And we give you praise. We give you praise for this house. And we invite those that are watching online to continue with us and to one day come and visit us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. Happy 4th of July.